It's my favorite thing to say, so I am going to say it again the way that I like to say it. It's time, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch. Hi, Arthur.
Hi. I'm going to be very mentioned this morning. That's the Yiddish adjectival form of mensch, which is a noun. And talk about what the Italians call cucina povera. I am pronouncing it correctly, but I have to say there are many people on TV and on the internet who do not pronounce it correctly. It means the food of the poor past, basically. I have to say, when I started going to Italy in the early 1970s, people were saying, oh, it's chic to eat like grandma. So nowadays, it's considered not only chic, but healthy. And eating like grandma, or as grandma cooked, or great grandma in some cases, would be cucina povera. This is before, southern. I must say, I've traveled all over southern Italy, and every place I go, I know that there's going to be a cucina povera dish that I want to learn about, meaning a poor people dish that everybody eats, nobody talks about really, because it's so much part of their life. But very often, that dish in the south of Italy is some combination of cabbage. Can't get more poor people than cabbage, and more healthy for that matter. Cabbage and potatoes. In fact, my favorite cabbage and potato dish is in my cookbook, The Southern Italian Table. And it's the version I got in a town in Basilicata, also called Lucania, which is an almost landlocked region in the very south of the boot. Now, in the old poor days, they didn't really have a lot of olive oil. So a lot of these dishes are prepared with pork fat. But I do most things with olive oil because it's so much healthier. And this dish of cabbage and potatoes is made with actually both. I use pancetta and a little bit of olive oil to get the pancetta going and rendering. So you start out with, I would say, this is going to be for a half a head of cabbage, which is 1.5 to 2 pounds of cabbage. And for that, you need maybe 12 ounces to a pound of potatoes. Slice them a half inch thick. The cabbage, you should cut into shreds. A half a head, and what else do you need? And the pancetta. So I would say, like 2 to 4 ounces of pancetta, depending on your taste. You render out some of the fat from the pancetta in the olive oil over medium heat. And then when you have a nice little puddle of fat in the pot, add your sliced potatoes, turn them in the fat, let them cook for a couple of 3 minutes. Then salt them. Be generous with the salt, even though pancetta can be salty. Potatoes stand a lot of salt. So put in a nice big pinch of, or a couple big pinches of salt. Then add your cabbage, which you have either just washed in a colander and let it drain, or if you haven't, if you shred it and it's not wet, add a few tablespoons of water to the pot along with the cabbage. But I usually wash mine soon before I put it in the pot. There's plenty of moisture clinging to the cabbage, and I just put it in the pot. By the way, for a half a head of cabbage, you need a 4-quart pot to fit it all in. It's going to shrink down, as it cooks, but still. So the potatoes and the cabbage are in the pot. Cover the pot, let it cook over medium heat. For about 10 minutes, at which point there should be some nice liquid collected at the bottom of the pot. So stir the pot now and get the potatoes mixed in with the cabbage. Cook it another 10 minutes. I would say for me, I want some hot pepper in here. So besides the salt for the cabbage, I would put in a good big pinch, even as much as a half teaspoon, actually, of crushed red pepper. I have these wonderful Calabrian peppers that you never can tell how hot they're going to be. But I would say for this pot, I would put in two and wish that they're not really, really hot, because if they're really, really hot, that's too hot. Anyway, so I like the hot pepper in here. If not, if you don't like hot pepper, you can put in a black pepper, but make sure you put some pepper in. Usually my pancetta has pepper clinging to it also, so that adds to the flavor. And then, so the whole deal should take no more than about a half an hour. So you toss it after 10 minutes, you toss it after another 10 minutes, and then maybe you're going to toss it one more time. The potatoes should definitely be fully tender by now. There's no way avoiding them breaking up somewhat. I do it a half inch thick so that they don't break apart altogether. It looks better on the plate. But if some break, it's just fine. If you want to finish that off with a drizzle of oil, you can. I don't find it necessary. It's really, really good. And I must say, it's meant to be a side dish, but I can eat it as a plate unto itself, with nothing. Now, gotta say, my main use of cabbage is not, by the way, I make different dishes based on that model. One, for instance, is I instead of buying a half a head of cabbage, I buy a bag of shredded cabbage with carrot that they sell as coleslaw. Every supermarket carries this. It's already basically, already cut up cabbage for coleslaw. I might just throw it into a bag of that into a pot with a tablespoon of butter and a tablespoon or two of water, and let it the cabbage steam with the butter. Now, if you let it steam 10 or 15 minutes, it's going to be green and vibrant, and I like it. But if you let it cook a half an hour, it gets reduced and a little bit very much more tender, and I like it that way. And if you really want to do the whole hog here, you can keep sauteing it, now uncovered, until it gets nice and caramelized or brown. Used to say just get it brown. Now they say caramelize. Anyway, that is really delicious. And that any which way, 15 minutes, a half an hour, any which way, the cabbage is delicious tossed with noodles. Not pasta, egg noodles. Because for me, this is a Ashkenazi Jewish dish, a Yiddish dish. Some Yiddish cooks will put onion in this too. I never found it really enhanced the cabbage, because if you cook the cabbage to the brown state, it's pretty full of its own flavor. It doesn't need any help. Salt and pepper is all it needs. And then you toss it with the noodles. If you really want, you can eat that with a big dollop of sour cream, or you can just eat it the way it is, cabbage and noodles. Oh, you can make it into soup. Now, speaking of soup, this is something that I do either as a dry dish, basically a sauce for pasta, or a soup. Either way, if you add liquid, it's soup, and you eat it with a spoon. And that is cabbage, sausage, and pasta. In this case, instead of the fat, pork fat from pancetta, you base your dish on the pork fat from sausage. So if I was making a one pot recipe of this, I would use two Italian sausage, and out of the casings, you just split them in, on one side, and push the meat out into the pot with a just a glug or two of olive oil, and break up the sausage with your wooden spoon or spatula as it cooks over medium heat until it's, lost all its raw color, so to speak. Now you add your cabbage, a half a head of cabbage, which is about a pound and a half of cabbage, shredded, and you put that in, and let the cabbage, I would say, wilt for about 10 minutes, at which point you're going to add some tomatoes. Now, I have to say, I looked at my recipe in my computer this morning, and I realized it's from so long ago that I recommend a 15-ounce can of plum tomatoes. You try to find a 15-ounce can of plum tomatoes these days. They don't exist, except I know one Italian market that carries them. And even then, you got to be careful because sometimes they're cherry tomatoes or other kind of tomato, not plum tomatoes like I like. So what I these days, the 28-ounce can of plum tomatoes, San Marzano or not, use a half a can. That's all. It's just the equivalent of a small can of tomatoes, a half a can. You'll find what to use the rest of it in, and use a little bit of the puree that's in the can as well. And that's it. Let that simmer for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. The cabbage will wilt. And then at the end, you add your pasta. Now, I collect little odds and ends of pasta called pasta mista. You can even buy pasta mista, which I do when I see it, but I don't see it that often. So lately, I've been collecting odd shapes here and there. Like last night, I made some spaghetti, and there's only a pound, an ounce and a half left in the box that I took it from. So I'm going to break up that and put it in my pasta mista jar. So I like this with pasta mista. I like this with spaghetti. I mean, there's always spaghetti. Sausage and cabbage and tomato. And if you want to make it soup, just add broth and you've got a really, really good soup. And you could cook pasta in the soup. You could break up spaghetti. Any little macaroni will do, cooked in the soup. And that is real cucina povera. The other thing, the other dish that I make all the time that is also cucina povera is, I'm keep repeating this because when you hear it on TV and they say it wrong, or you hear it on TikTok or Instagram or wherever, and they say it wrong, you'll know how to correct them. It's cucina, which means cooking or kitchen, really. Povera, poor. So it's the poor kitchen, really, literally. So the other thing that I make, and quite often, I must say, especially now that Bob has discovered chickpeas are really very healthy. I could have told him that 30 years ago. But anyway, I make pasta e ceci, which is macaroni with chickpeas. Now, I do a little revolutionary way that I came up with when I was trying to get the most out of my olive oil. And instead of cooking garlic and rosemary together in olive oil, which is the old-fashioned way, I open up a can of chickpeas, pour it in the pot, add chopped up garlic to the can of chickpeas and some rosemary to the chickpeas, and let it simmer for 10 minutes. Then mash up half the chickpeas right in the pot. I don't even get my immersion blender for this. I just use a potato masher. And to that, I add my pasta. I don't cook the pasta in the same pot. I could, but I don't. Because I if I was making like vermicelli or thin spaghetti, I could do that and cook it in the same pot because it cooks very fast. But in fact, I like a little bit more substantial pasta with my chickpeas. The pasta mista goes very well. Penne is good. I bought something as a novelty because my niece is has become a tennis player. So I bought raquete, which is tennis rackets. DiCecco makes them, and they're fun to eat. And those with the little chickpeas, it's like tennis balls. What else? The other one that I make, and I'm sure I've talked about it before, is lentils and pasta. In that case, I usually do cook my pasta in the same pot as the lentils, so it's a one pot thing. The lentils cook for about 20 minutes. Then I add my seasonings, which are a couple crushed cloves of garlic. This is for about 2/3 cup of lentils, 5 cups of water. I know this by heart. And so the garlic and a big pinch of hot pepper and some chopped parsley if you have it. If you don't, use oregano. I always have dried oregano. A couple of good lugs of extra virgin olive oil, and that's it. Stir that up, let that cook a few more minutes. Garlic, oil, parsley, hot pepper or black pepper, and salt. You want to add salt at the end of the lentils, and then you can cook your pasta in that same pot. As I said, thin spaghetti or cappellini, angel hairs works great cooked in the same pot. If it's a heavier pasta like penne or my pasta mista, which takes a good 10 minutes to cook. Then I cook at least, I would say, 8 minutes on their own in their own pot, and then add them to the lentils. And then if you want to thin that out, make that soupy. You add some of your pasta cooking water. But I don't eat this soupy. A lot of people do eat it soupy and with a spoon, but I actually like a dry dish, and I eat it with a fork. So, cucina povera. By the way, of course, we are coming up on the both Passover and Easter and Good Friday. All this these holidays involve food, I have to say. It's a dangerous time. And there are a lot of sweets that go along with Holy Week. And since in Brooklyn we have so many nice Italian bakeries, it's hard to ignore. They're still selling sfinci or Zeppoli di San Giuseppe, which was March 19th. We're almost 2 weeks away and they're still selling those. So I don't know. You can buy sort of anything you want here. Including the big deal a cake for Easter is La Colomba, the dove. And it's basically the same thing as panettone, but in a different shape. But that this is the time to buy that. Okay.
Okay,
So
you hungry?
am I hungry? I'm not this morning. I ate a lot of cheese this morning. Cheese
Oh,
sticks with me
okay.
for a while. I must tell you that I've been experimenting with different breakfasts because I've had these dental issues. And the one that I have to say, the one that does the best in the sense of keeping me feeling sated until lunchtime is dates. They could be any kind of date. I like the big medjool dates. Medjool dates spread with peanut butter. And that will do nothing to your blood sugar. It'll provide a good hit of sugar, though, that is nice to eat from the date. And then the protein and fat from the peanut butter balances it all out. It's really a good treat. So I told this to somebody recently. And I said, he said, and you don't put chocolate on it? I put chocolate on mine too. So I don't know.
And
I've been seeing this around the Passover. You can find this online, this recipe. It is everywhere. People are pretending that they invented it, but they didn't. It's the matzah candy where you spread it with a brown sugar, sweet mixture. And then on top of that, you put chocolate. And if you want, on top of that, you put chopped nuts. But a friend of mine, I haven't talked to her in years, but I know she's still kicking. Marcy Goldman, who is in, I forget if she's Toronto or Montreal, but she's Canadian. And she has a website called Better Baking. And she is the one who popularized this, I don't know, got to be 25, 30 years ago. I mean, in its existence before Marcy, but she popularized it. So you can find it online, I'm sure. I know.
It is amazing that people don't know that you have been able to candify, quote, quote, matzah for years.
Yes, candified. I like matzah, and I like making that
Yeah.
candy. I haven't done it in a while, but I'm always offered some by somebody because it's so popular now. In fact, I don't wait till Passover to eat some of these things. And by the way, I think I've said this before. If you're very, very observant, you don't cook with matzah until the last 2 days of Passover. You're not allowed to moisten matzah until the last 2 days of
Until the last 2 days
Passover when it's a frugality issue. If you have leftover matzah, what are you going to do with it? You got to cook with it. So matzah balls are not something that a very Orthodox person would have on Passover unless it was the last 2 days of the holiday. Okay, there's
Okay, noted.
your Jewish lesson of the week.
Your Jewish and Italian lesson, we're in great shape.
Yeah, right. Okay, everybody,
All
have
right,
a
so.
very holy and happy Holy Week, whether you're Jewish or Christian. And also,
And to you and Bob as well. So thank you
okay,
very much, Arthur
you're most
Schwartz,
welcome.
the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.